It's been a challenge, and it has been, of course, dark days. I even had to write a letter to my three kids for the second time. I never thought I'd make it. So I'm so blessed, and that's why everyone to me are so precious. I call them precious because I know they are precious to me, and sometimes I can't remember their names, but life is precious, and that's why I say to everyone, let's go out and live it today because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we are blessed to be here.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast, the show that helps crack open your heart and inspire a deeper regard for your own well-being and happiness. Proudly brought to you by 28 Essentials. Here's your host, the gorgeous Kim Morrison.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast. This week, wow, wait till you hear this story. Beautiful Wendy Barnes was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2008, and she has been a client through different facilities, including Bloom Hill, for a number of years. Her first breast cancer diagnosis came just 6 months after she had arrived to live on the Sunshine Coast from South Australia. She knew nobody but her husband and children. Well, this beautiful soul felt that not only had they just been here for 6 months and with no family nearby, she wasn't sure how the side effects of cancer, including the loss of taste and smell, was going to affect her. She felt that places like Bloom Hill and all the beautiful nurses and people she's met on her travels helped her to recover with a more positive mindset, and she utilized many therapies available. She's always, in my opinion, had a positive mindset, but it was actually when she got diagnosed the second time that she realized even more so how important a positive mindset was going to get her through this. She knows it's been a journey, but she also knows that what the mind believes, the body achieves. She believes that living your life and believing in yourself, you just have to put yourself out there. This beautiful soul finally competed in the Mooloolaba Triathlon with her son in 2021. That was achieving the goal she'd set out to do since moving to the coast all those years ago. I know you are going to love her story today. And whilst it may not be that particular diagnosis that is your challenge, we all know that different challenges become different metaphors for whatever we're going through. I love this woman's smile. I love her attitude. I love her never, ever say die belief that by giving of herself, she can indeed help others to do the same. I really hope you enjoyed this week's interview. I look forward to hearing your comments and feedback and supporting this beautiful soul on her journey as she travels the world with her delicious husband, Barnsley, with her email, Getaway Holidays number 7, as one of her key hopes and wishes in life. I really know you're going to love what she shares. Cannot wait to hear you. Please comment on my Instagram page, Kim Morrison, the number 28. You can head on over to my Facebook page, Kim Morrison and training, or go to our beautiful wellness, thewellnesscouch.com/self-love podcast. Thank you for your 5-star rating. Thank you for your positive messages, emails, and posts on all my platforms. You have no idea how much it means to me. And maybe, just maybe, a conversation like today will bring a smile to someone else's dial. Take care, be kind. And I look forward to sharing with you another beautiful soul, same place, next week, right here on the Self Love Podcast. Every week, I have the opportunity to interview beautiful souls, people who have an incredible story, people who inspire me, people who I just genuinely love. And this week, I am delighted to welcome to the Self Love Podcast the gorgeous Wendy Barnes. Welcome, sweetheart.
Oh, thanks, Kim.
Look, we've talked about this for a while, and you even said to me off air that you've been looking forward to this for a while. Maybe before we get into the real throes of what you are doing in this day and age, could you take us on a little journey where you began? What was the philosophies and beautiful values that you grew up with, and what led you into today?
Oh, thanks, Kim, for having me on your beautiful show. Well, I grew up in a little country town called Port Broughton. It's 2 hours north of Adelaide, only 2,000 people there. And I was very sporty. I'm a twin. And my twin sister and I would always be competing against each other. I'm a very competitive person. Loved sport, netball. I'm actually a black belt in Zendu Kai and karate. And was always running. And then we grew up and I married this beautiful man, and we travelled in a 40-foot bus when our kids were only 2 and 4, and we fell in love with the Sunshine Coast Mooloolaba, and both Barnsley and I said, we'll come back here one day. And that's what we did. I was 42 and Barnsley was 44, and our kids were only 15, 13 and 7, and we decided to travel, leave South Australia and come to Queensland, to the Sunshine Coast. And I was always into doing triathlons and running, and so I started running, training for the Mooloolaba Tri up here. And we didn't know hardly anyone. We had no family. And, I actually found out I had a lump, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer while I was training for the Mooloolaba Tri.
Now, it's pretty extraordinary. Most of us have a story. Most of us have a beautiful journey that leads us in a certain way. But a diagnosis like that, in the middle of being someone who's so healthy, so focused, a mama bear, living her life, to have something like that happen must have been quite a shock. And I'd just be curious for you to share with us, if it's okay, what that whole journey was like for you to actually get that news.
Oh, it was devastating. We actually had, it was a moment that the time appears to stand still. You know, you try to comprehend what you've been told, whilst your mind is blank and numb. But, you know, we went through, I remember thinking, I said to Barnsley, oh, my God, is this really happening to us? You know, our hopes and plans for our new lifestyle on the coast with our family was just taken away at that very moment. So you just keep going. I mean, it was devastating, actually, Kim, and it was mind-blowing. We just never knew that this was going to happen to us, which no one does. But I went through. I had the treatment, the lumpectomy and chemo and radiation. And then at my 2 years after that, my beautiful daughter Hayley said to me, oh, Mum, you should try and get back to doing what you love. So I actually did the Rio Tinto bike to conquer cancer. It's a 260K bike ride from Brisbane to Wivenhoe and back. But you had to raise $1,500. We had to enter in and have $1,500. Oh, my God, how am I going to do that? So I actually got on board, and because I like a challenge, and I actually ended up raising $10,500 for cancer research by having a pink and bling night where all the women were dressed in pink and bling, and actually got the pink Hummer. I always went around and asked for all these prizes, and me being actually the cancer survivor, they just all supported me. So that was special. And, yeah, then I actually, 2013, actually at my 5-year checkup, I got diagnosed again. So it was twice I have survived. So it's been an amazing journey. So then I actually went in, and it was actually the day of my 5-year checkup. when I got diagnosed again, and both of them were on August the 5th, which is bizarre. So I'd organised still to have a party, which, as I do, all my friends still come from South Australia, friends here, and we had a party down at my holiday house that I used to run. And Barnsley made a big bucket of plaster Paris, so I've got all the girlfriends to scoop that up and put that onto my boobs, and we made a cast. I kept that for 5 years under my bed because I knew I had to get through that next 5 years. And that's what we did. And I've made this beautiful glass sculpture of my boobs. So I'm never having a reconstruction, never entered my mind to have one. So this glass sculpture is my reminder of how precious I am to be here. And I love it. And I actually take that when I do some motivational talks. So I take that along with me.
It's very touching, this story. It's incredibly poignant and quite tragic on one level. I just can't imagine you're traveling this beautiful life. You get news that just basically turns your world upside down, the fear of the future, not knowing what's in store, to get through those 5 years and then to be given a double blow. I'm curious how you keep, because you are one of the most positive, beautiful, most empowering women I know. What, I'm sure there were dark moments, Wendy. I'm sure there were times when you did want to kick it all to the ground. But tell me, what was it? What gave you the strength to pursue this, to, I guess, attack it, to really ensure you gave yourself the best opportunity? What were the key things that, looking back, really stick in your mind now?
Oh, it's having that connection with your beautiful family and your friends, but most of all, having that loving support from your family. Barnsley's amazing. We've been married for 33 years and together for 40 years. So we were 19 and 21 when we first met. He's my rock. And then having the beautiful three kids, and that, see, they were so young. They were only 15, 13 and 7. I had too much to live for, Kim. I was too young, and I know I'm blessed to be here because I've met so many dear friends through my cancer journey who have passed away. So I'm blessed, but I've changed a lot with myself. I've grown, and I did fasting, and made my own kombucha tea, and I did the first 3 days of every month. I did my fasting, and then I drink alkaline water. We went to healthy food, clean eating, and then we've kept up with our exercising. I love my bike riding, cycling, and then I got into doing my triathlon. I finally got to do that with my darling son. We competed in the Mooloolaba Tri 3 years ago. We did it together. And I didn't care where I came as long as I finished at the end holding on to Riley's hand. And that's what we did. But it's also about keeping fit and keeping moving. And so after I had my double mastectomy, I went back to my physio, and she said to me, "Wendy, I think," because I could hardly move my arm, it couldn't go past my chest. So I'd work on it and put the arm up the wall and did the exercises. And in the end, she said, "I think you would be great at going to do some swimming." And I went, and because the water's my safe place, Barnsley being a fisherman, and we live on the water, it's my happy place. So I did, and I started swimming, and it's been the best thing I've ever done. And that was 7 years ago. It was actually Cindy who I met down the street, and she said to me, "Oh, you should come swimming as well with us." And I used to go down there, and I'd see up at the end of the spit, I'd see all these people come from the tower and swim along and then walk back. And I went, "Oh, my God, I want to do that one day." So then I'd go down on my own, or Barnes and I, and do a little swimming. And then I ended up, after speaking to Cindy, and then I met up with Barry Ball. And so now I go down, and that's my special place, 6:30 Monday to Friday, swim. And even while I've been away traveling, I'm swimming and meeting groups, and it's just been the best thing for me personally, mentally and physically. And it's also helped me with my arm because I've got no lymph nodes. So it's the action of the water waving on my arm has helped me, so I don't need to wear a sleeve no more. So it's been my life saviour. But it's also too, Kim, I've always set goals. So I've set through all my treatment. I remember watching Olivia Newton-John when she was in China raising money for her hospice, and I thought, I'm going to do that one day. So for my 50th, when my daughter Taylor lived in China, as a family we all went and we walked the Great Wall of China together. So that's, you know, and I loved setting goals. And then we trekked Machu Picchu. That was a challenge, but I loved it. And then I also did the Three Capes in Tassie with my beautiful daughters and ran into Shane Gould. And then I went swimming with her at Bishanoe, and we had a great chat. And yeah, so on my journey, it's been some really dark times, but it's also, I look at it now, I'm such a, you know, as I've always said, what the mind believes, the body achieves. I've met some amazing people up here, and people say to me, and I admit it, the cancer has changed my life. It's made me a better person. I've met some amazing people. You know, Shane Gould and even Raylene Boyle. I've met her at Bloom Hill, and that's another special place. Bloom Hill supported not just me but also my family as well when we were here, because we had no one. So it's been a challenge, but there has been, of course, dark days. I even had to write a letter to my three kids for the second time. I never thought I'd make it. So I'm so blessed, and that's why everyone to me are so precious. I call them precious because I know they are precious to me, and sometimes I can't remember their names. But life is precious, and that's why I say to everyone, just go out and live it. Live for today, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow, and we are blessed to be here.
You know, as I listen to you speak, there's a part of me that obviously feels so inspired and so delighted and so happy for you and your survival and everything that you're about. What saddens me is that it takes a life-threatening illness or disease to wake some people up to actually realize how precious life is. I get the impression that before this, you were someone who loved life and certainly never took it for granted. But is this just that feeling on steroids? And if so, how do we help people to realize and appreciate the gift of life?
Oh, you're so right. You're so right, Kim. Yeah, I don't know. There's just, it did wake us up. It certainly woke me up. I just felt, I think we all feel as if we're, nothing's going to happen to us. But, yeah, I just feel like it's just, and I feel the universe made us come up here for this reason, because if I was still in South Australia, we'd have to shift to Adelaide because we were 2 hours north of Adelaide. So and I'm such a, put things out there to the universe and believe in, I'm such a spiritual person. I believe it pushed us up here for this reason, because everything was on the coast. I had all my chemo here. I had the radiation. I've met some amazing people, the support that I've got here. And I've just had all these beautiful, precious people around me, as well as my beautiful family. And I've just set challenges and done stuff up here that I would never have done in South Australia. And also, too, to see our three kids just blossom to what they're doing and achieving in their lives, you know, because they had it tough. And, yeah, it was hard. Sometimes I do think, oh, my God, how did I put this on my kids, but I've got to stop doing that. But I just can't believe how strong and resilient they are. And that's another thing that kept me going, was these three beautiful children we've got, to keep them going. So I've set goals and I've kept strong and I'm motivated and I'm out there.
What about your beautiful husband? I mean, so often in these situations, women naturally worry about their children. It's that mother lioness, that protection mechanism steps in. And then there's the sense of, I guess, in a partnership. I mean, not only are you dealing with this crisis, this trauma, but there's an element of losing, for some people, their identity, their womanhood, their femininity. Mm. How did you and Barnsley cope with this together? And how has he coped with you physiologically and also emotionally since the removal of both of your breasts?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kim. He's amazing. He's when I had the double mastectomy, he came in and he said, I don't really want to see it, but he had no choice. I said, here, look at this. And he said it was the best thing I ever done, was showed him. And he went, oh, that's not that bad. But he had some hard times, exactly. And a lot of people do ask those questions and ask how Barnsley coped with it. But he said, well, we've had our three children. I don't need boobs to be a person. I am what I am. And he knew that there's no way I wanted to have a reconstruction. And I do know that some women have never had to show their scars to their partners, or are afraid or don't love themselves for it, because it is a challenge. I mean, I had to redefine what a woman looked like mentally in myself, in my mind. And then it would have been harder for Barnsley. But he is amazing. He said, look, it's all your choice. So, and he's also been the rock for all of us. You know, when we shifted here, we had no family. So he supported the three kids. He couldn't work because he looked after me and the kids. So it was a challenging time for us all. And, yeah, I look back because it's now 16 and, oh, what is it, 16 and 12 years, and it only seems like it does. I just remember it like as if it was yesterday. But then I look at it and think, oh my God, what we have achieved and what we have done in our life from all this. I have certainly learned a lot, and I've certainly grown from it. And I know that our kids have, and I have. And I know Barnsley has, but it's been a challenge.
Mm. And, many of us have challenges in whether it's physically, emotionally, whether it's relationship, finances, all of these things. I'm yet to meet anyone yet, Wendy, who's gone through life unscathed or with absolutely no challenge whatsoever. Do you think your athletic mindset, the fact that you loved setting goals, the fact that you were so ensconced in what it meant to be physical and to give your best, was that one of your X factors, your little formulas for success and recovery, do you think? And if so, why?
Oh, yes, absolutely, Kim. I've always been competitive and out there and challenged, and I think, as I always say, what the mind believes, the body achieves. I think you have to always be proactive and positive. And I will say this, I actually had to be very selfish. I had to be number one. I had to really love myself. I had to put myself first. And I had to be mindful of everything, what was going on, and I had to cull some people. You got to get rid of some negative people in your life that bring you down, and hang around the positive people and But it was also, my twin sister would say that. I'm 5 hours older than my twin sister, and they always say when the first one's born, she's the bossy one. So, no, I've always been very proactive and competitive, and I'm not, and I love my scars. I love my body. I love myself. And you know that because I just have just climbed Frenchman Peak at Cape the Grand in WA, and I was up on top of it, topless, with my hands out, two fingers out, saying twice, breast cancer survivor, and I'm loving my scars. So I've been doing that quite a bit on our journey around WA because I love showing my scars and showing people, because that's me and I love it. I just want to put it out there for everyone to believe in themselves and love themselves. And I'm a cancer survivor. These are my scars that have made me live. So I'm first one in if we go topless. So, but it's, yeah, I'm a little bit different to some people.
Yeah, well, different and just so inspiring. You know, when we look at physical ailments, disease, illness, anything at all that occurs to us, there is a lot of belief around things like the biology of belief that these emotions get stuck in our body or they will show up as disease, illness, or ailment. When we look at the breasts from Louise Hay's point of view and also the beautiful book, The Secret Language of Your Body by Inna Segal, I remember there's a big thing in there about breasts being about the femininity, the mothering, the nurturing and nourishment. Is it before you had this diagnosis? And I'm not saying that it's because we think this way that we get an illness, but there is a lot of belief, scientific belief, around how we store emotional issues and problems physically. There's a lot of belief around the breasts that, you know, lack of nurturing for yourself, being gentle or loving yourself, or believing that you don't deserve to receive from others or be supported. Is there any element of truth in that for you prior to this diagnosis? Were you ignoring your self-care, your self-love, your nurturing, your gentleness? Is there something in that, or
Absolutely.
Am I going too deep?
No, you are spot on, Kim. Absolutely, love. I was always rushing. I was always doing stuff for everyone else. And I wasn't looking after myself. I didn't have that self-love. And I've only got that now through my cancer. I didn't spend a lot of time for myself. I was always doing stuff for everyone else and looking after other people and my children and my family and putting myself at the bottom. And you are dead right. And my beautiful mum, she got breast cancer the year after I did the second time in 2014. But mine's a different cancer to hers. This is her, she's positive and I'm a triple negative. So they're not irrelevant, and they're not. But it's, you're right, you are exactly right. And that's why I say to everyone, you know, smell the roses, slow down, make your choices today, live them, and look after yourselves.
Well, I think also too, your positive attitude, no doubt, even though you were diagnosed again 5 years later, I have to say to you that since then, 12 years ago, you have done the remedies, which everyone talks about, which is honoring yourself, loving and nurturing yourself, even if you're just doing it moment by moment, breath by breath, day by day. One of the biggest things that I would say is your armor, your coat of armor, is your incredible smile and your tenacity to ensure everybody has something bright in their day, even if it's just greeting you with that big smile. When you think about smiling and when you're out there in the world, no one knows your story, but I've noticed even complete strangers, you smile or say something positive too. Is that also something that you feel so genuinely connected to, that this world, we're lucky to be here?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And especially too, when I see beautiful women that are bald, or I know that they're going through, I can pick it, that I know they're going through treatment, or they've got, they're going through some kind of cancer. I actually go out and speak to them, or give them a smile, or I actually chatted to a lady on our journey down at Esperance, and she noticed my breast cancer symbol tattooed on the side of my leg, and we got chatting and said stories, and yeah, it's amazing. I just feel like I just like to give them a smile to know that I'm thinking and I know what they've gone through, and having your head shaved when I did, we had a bit of a party and I had a pink mohawk for a couple of weeks, which I loved, and my daughter, she shaved her hair off, which is amazing, and gave that hair to the look good, feel good to make weeks. My other daughter coloured her hair pink. You know, we've been so blessed to make it a fun way as well as what we were going through. So, you know, we've had some shaving parties, we've smashed plates, and we've had to make it have fun with it as well. But I think with the strength and the hope that everyone has given us, has given me that strength. But I smile now every day, Kim, and I say to people, I've got my birthday coming up and I just can't wait. I love every birthday because I'm here to celebrate them. And like next year is my 60th, and I just can't wait for that. Whereas I know so many people think, oh my God, I'm turning 60. Well, I can't wait. I love it. And I love my scars, love my wrinkles, I love my grey hair. You know, everyone, they don't want that grey hair, but when I actually lost all my hair and came back with curly and black, but then the second time I lost it, came back quite fine and grey. And so one day I said to Barnsley, I'm going to the hairdresser. So I come home blonde. I'd never been blonde before in my life. And I said, oh, well, I thought Barnsley can have a blonde for a while. And then I thought, I'm not doing this no more, and I just let it go natural. So I love it, love my grey hair.
I also want to say that part of that pride in ourselves, it's just such a beautiful message. I'm so sorry that you had to go through this to actually acknowledge it, but I'm so grateful that you're sharing this, and that I hope anyone listening to this in this moment can actually go and look at themselves in the mirror and just see the gifts that they have. I've heard different speakers in different times, and something that stuck in my mind is not what if, but what is. So it's not what if I died, or what if this had happened, or what if I hadn't got this. What is actually is? What is happening right now? And you're a very big believer about living in the present and owning that present moment. I would love to just go back a little bit to the swimming group, because there's something about communities within communities. Now, that Cindy O'Meara has tried to get me into swimming with you all many times. And I think the day she put me off was when she said, oh my gosh, we had sharks down there this morning. I'm like, what? And she goes, oh no, but it was right at the back. And I went, yeah, where I'd be. That's where I'd be swimming. I'd be the fodder for that shark. But there's something about you special souls down there and you all getting in. There's a vibrancy. There's a connectivity. Oh. There's something. Tell us about what it means to join a group, even if you don't feel like being part of something. What does it take to be so bold to go, I'm in?
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it just lights me up. Even my daughter says, when I didn't go swimming for a while, she said, Mum, you're not swimming, are you? I said, I know, I'm not. So it got me going again. It just gives you so much strength, and you've got the camaraderie of all the others that are swimming. I mean, I don't swim with Cindy or Keita and them. They're too fast for me. I'm the slowest. And because it's not about how fast, it's about having that connection, having a chat with them all. I swim with, we're called the B team, because I'm Barnsley. There's a Bob, a Barry, and a Brewer. And these three beautiful men are in their 80s. It's just about getting in the water, exercising, because it's less impact on my body, which helps, and other people. But having that friendship, knowing when you go down there, there's someone there that you can swim with, because it's not safe to swim on your own. But it's a special feeling. And to have, you know, there's women and men that all come there, all groups of different ages. to have that connection. And then after, have a coffee after if you can fit it in, or you head on to some head to work. And but it's, yeah, it's a special group. And I dare say, you know, it's everywhere. I actually caught up with a group down at Yalanup and went swimming, and Preverley Beach. I just rode my bike and caught up with them and went swimming. So, I mean, it's anywhere you go to catch up and have a group. You just feel connected and you're living.
I think for a lot of us, the hardest part is actually being embraced or accepted into a group, or thinking that no one cares or that no one's interested, or feeling like you're on your own. And it's a bold, brave move to invite yourself into a group. It takes energy, it takes commitment, and it also takes a lot for you to give of yourself. I just want people to know that this hasn't happened just because you smiled. You actually give back to others. You speak at different events. You encourage people if they're going through something, even if it's not breast cancer. You have an incredible ability to tap into people and connect with them on a heart level. I know that was actually before this diagnosis. I think that was always a part of you and your innateness and what you offer this world. Do you humbly think that that was, you know, magnified because of this? And are you even more interested? And do you have an example of a story of someone who you've actually really supported through a really tough time yourself?
Oh, yeah, you're right, Kim. I suppose a smile goes a long way, no matter who or what you are and what you're going through. I mean, everyone's got a journey. Everyone has a story. Because you just don't know underneath what people are going through. But I've always liked to help others. I mean, paying it forward is such a big thing for me, especially my breast cancer journey. And it's about how I do want to help other people and let them know, and, you know, setting the goals and, you know, manifesting it all and being very grateful of it all. But I have helped. I actually do for Cancer Council of Queensland for the last 5 years phone line. So I help women if they want to talk to someone that has actually been through it, and I listen to them and they ask questions that they want to ask, but knowing that I can answer it for them because I've lived it. And I also help out at Upper Bloom Hill. And I've also helped a lot of women that have never come out to show their scars and after having the double mastectomy. So I actually went down to Sydney last year and modelled swimwear and lingerie for this lady that's making for women that have had double mastectomies. And that was so special, and we had so much fun. And there was a lady there that had never really come in public to show her scars, and so I helped her, and that's so beautiful. I don't know, it's never been one for me to be a shy girl, so I love to get it out there and help women and pay it forward. And I've always said to people, you know, and my kids, you know, live your own life. You've got your brain, you use it. Don't rely on other people. I'll just tell you this one little thing, Kim. When I actually went to have my very first chemo, and I went there and this lady said, "Oh, how are you feeling?" And I said, "Oh, I'm fine." And she laughed at me. And I looked at her and I looked at Barnes and I thought, "Oh my God, what is this lady laughing for? I'm about to go through this horrible treatment." And she says, "You're fine means fucked up, insecure, neurotic and emotional." And I've never forgotten it. So I've always said, we're fine.
I just love it. And things like that actually really do give us something to chuckle at more than anything. Always be surprised. You know, you men out there, when a woman says, I'm fine, now you know what it means.
Yes.
Hey, I know you've done a lot of volunteer work, and I know you've done some beautiful work for others, and also, as you mentioned, with Bloom Hill. I would love to ask you, you were on the cover of Profile magazine to celebrate your 10 and 5 year anniversary. You were invited to be a cover girl and to show yourself. Could you talk us through what that felt like to not only be a model, but also to be a model that was bearing her soul as well as her, I guess, her illness in the recovery of that? Could you share with us what that meant to you?
Oh, yeah, that was amazing. It felt so real. A lot of people thought, yes, is she really going to, can she really do that? Yeah, I felt really courageous and felt very blessed. It was a photo I actually done with my beautiful dear friend Donna Penny, who has passed away. So both her and I had a photo shoot together, and it was precious. And I just wanted to get it out there to show women that being my 10 years and 5 years was amazing to get there, because I know there's so many that don't make it. So I was very blessed and I absolutely loved it. I stood there and it does not bother me to take my top off and show anyone. I had that photo shoot and that was the best thing. And I love that Profile magazine cover. I've actually got it on my wall. I'm looking at it now. So it tells the story. It just, I'm smiling and it just looks as if I'm living.
Which indeed you are. Another thing that I love about you is your email address. Could you tell us a little bit about what you and Barnsley get up to these days, apart from attending things like the Gympie Muster, where we ran into you and we boogied the night away? But what is it that you two live for now?
Oh, wow.
Don't forget to say your email, like just the title.
Okay. My email is getawayholidays7.
I love it.
It's just about getting away. We've just come back for a couple of weeks to spend time with our family. We're actually traveling in our caravan for 8 months. So we left in January. We're doing the whole of WA. And it's amazing. Something I've always had on our bucket list. And I've always wanted to swim with the whale shark. So through my cancer journey, I visualised me swimming in the water with these beautiful whale sharks. So we're doing that in May. We're also, my son has travelled to Canada to live for 2 years. So Barnsley and I, we get back in August. Early August. So August the 28th, we fly to Canada and do an Alaskan cruise and then meet up with our son and travel with him for 3 weeks. Then we come back, and then our beautiful daughter, Hayley, who's a professional samba dancer, she's just got back from Rio. She's been there 3 times dancing in the Carnival. And next year she said, I think it will be my last one. So both Barnsley and I will go to Brazil and watch Hayley dance in a carnival there. And then we come back. It's my 60th. So you've got to plan something for that. So Barnsley and I are heading off to Bali for 3 months to live. So I like to set goals and plan things to look forward to. And we're living. So I've always got something in mind. And then I think Barnsley wants to go to Vietnam, so I think we'll go there next.
I just love this so much, that to have something like this to look forward to is so empowering, but it also focuses on living rather than looking back into the trauma of what you've been through. I'm really, really excited for you guys. I think this is extraordinary. And I just think to do all of these things, set targets, that's the biggest message I've taken away from hearing you today. You attended my Essential Self-Care Weekend a while ago, and you even said that that motivated and inspired you to create a PowerPoint presentation. Could you talk to us a little bit about how that weekend impacted you, and then what sort of talks you're doing these days?
Oh, absolutely, Kim. That was amazing. That weekend, and that's just what I needed. I wasn't in a good place at that time, and I thought that's what I needed to lift myself up and start giving myself that love, and also too to put it together to make that PowerPoint presentation, to put it out there, to pay it forward, to help others. So yeah, your weekend course was amazing. So I've actually done, and I remember you saying to me, you have to put a limit, you have to put a goal to how many you want to do. And I used to, I'd think I might do one or two, but no, I said I'd do six, and I've done six, which is amazing for me. So I've done this PowerPoint presentation of the journey of the start to of all through my treatment and chemo and what I've achieved, and then at the end with doing my triathlon with my son and all the parties that we've been through and all what the family have gone through. And it's, and I take my glass sculpture with me, so I'm wanting to pay it forward and to help and inspire others that there is life after cancer, and you can, and it is hard, but you can get through it. Having that support, not always easy. I mean, you have your dark days, and don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was bloody hard. And you have these dark moments, but you have, but then you put it around, squash it out your head and think, I'm here today, I'm living. I've got all this to live for, and my husband, Barnsley, the three kids, friendship, life.
I just think this is such beautiful conversation. I also really sense throughout this whole talk that you've talked a lot about loving yourself, about giving back to yourself, about being a little bit more selfish and putting yourself at the top of the list. Those are all acts of self-love. What is your definition of self-love now?
Oh, God. My definition. Yeah, it is so much about putting yourself number one, believing in yourself, take time out for yourself, do what you want to do, live your life, not no one else's, surround yourself about like-minded people, love yourself, stay in your own lane and keep reaching for your own dreams, no one else's. And believe so much in yourself. It's incredible to how cancer has really changed me, Kim. And I'm so lucky, and I love it here on the Sunshine Coast.
It's a pretty special place, isn't it?
Yeah.
People say often to me, is there something in the water there? There's so many incredible entrepreneurs, givers, servers, helpers, beautiful people. I'm sure it's got something to do with the sunshine that we get to experience most days. And also would love to say to you publicly, just congratulations. Congratulations on not just surviving, but actually thriving and really making your life matter, making it count. I know your children would be in awe of you. I know Barnsley is in awe of you. We're all in awe of you. And you just make the world a better place. So I'm very glad and very, very grateful that you have chosen the route of living, thriving, and giving. And I just want to say you're one hell of a human, and it's a treat to know you, my love.
Oh, thank you, Kim. No, I feel very blessed that I've been on your show and I've met you, and I am one lucky lady. Thank you.
Well, I had no idea that you were wanting to be on the show one day. And so it is such a treat to think that this dream has made both of us our dreams come true. If there was a final message to the beautiful listener, it may not be cancer that's their struggle or challenge, but I do see that as a metaphor for all challenges. What would your advice be or final message? And maybe could you include your favourite quote that you love at the moment?
Well, you'd probably know what my favourite quote is: what the mind believes, the body achieves. And that is so important. And I love adventure and freedom, being free. Because I used to have so many appointments and you'd have all this. So I just love spontaneous spiritual freedom and living life.
Would you say then, as a close, that that's what's so important to you, that people live life with adventure, honour their freedom, actually live and be free, love spontaneity, feel spiritually free, and actually live each day? I mean, they are pretty big, like we can say it flippantly, but hearing it from you, there's so much depth to this. Is that what you'd say to someone? Live your life.
Yeah. Don't hold back. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Live your life today. If you think, oh, I might go and do that in 6 months, just do it. Yeah. Don't hold back. Yeah, you just never know. So, yeah, like don't save your good clothes. Wear them. Don't save, I'm going to hold those shoes for later. Oh, just start wearing them. Yeah, live for today.
You're just a powerhouse. I think it's just so beautiful hearing you. I'd also like to say, if people wanted to reach out to you because you are such a server, or people did want to follow you or see your beautiful journey, is there any way that you publicly give people access to yourself?
No, I've only got an email and Facebook. So I haven't got anything else that people can follow. Just Facebook or my email.
So reach out on Wendy Barnes, look out, friend her. If you've got any questions for this beautiful soul, I can promise you she will answer and she will share. It's just the most beautiful gift that she has. Are you happy to repeat your email just in case there's anyone listening that goes, actually, I need someone like you in my world?
Absolutely. I'd love to help out people. My email is getawayholidays, that's with an S on the end, and number7@gmail.com.
Perfect. I'll make sure I put that in the show notes. Wendy Barnes, you are a treasure. You're one in a trillion. I am so grateful to have you in my world, and I am very, very excited that we got to do this today. I cannot wait for everyone to hear your story, your messages, your quotes, your enthusiasm, your passion, and your zest for life. It is truly infectious, and I freaking love you. So thank you so much for being on the Self Love Podcast.
Oh, thanks, Precious. Thanks so much. Love you too, darling.
Thanks for listening to the Self Love Podcast. Be sure to write a review and share the love with your friends and family. And head over and visit Kim and her team at 28.com. That's the word 20 and the number 8.com. Take good care.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.